And I remember 25 years ago when I sat in a chapel service on this campus, I too was in a valley of decision. And I had an enemy that showed up. My adversary whispered to me that I ought to just give up. I had tried and tried and tried before to be the kind of spiritual-minded person that I knew God wanted me to be. And yet I kept finding myself to be something less than that. I determined that I was going to be a very average Christian. I wasn't satisfied with that. I wanted to be one of those superstar Christians that I saw walking the halls of Union. I wanted to be one of those superstar Christians that I witnessed in the cafeteria before they sat down to eat. They would always be sensitive to bow their heads and to pray. And you know the type. There are also those that are always going on go trips, and they're involved in campus ministries, and they set up front at chapel services like these fine folks from First Baptist Church have done this morning. I know they always do that. I'm confident that they're always up front. You've seen those folks who are superstar Christians, and perhaps you're like me. I sat out there and saw them. I wanted to be like them, but it just seemed like it was never going to happen in my life. As much as I wanted to be a spiritually minded superstar for Christ, I began to think that I was only always going to be average. I was in a valley of decision. And my adversary kept saying to me, you might as well give up. You're never going to be like all of these others. And then I ran across a principle that's found in the parable that Brian just read for us a moment ago. And it's that principle that I want you to hear this morning. First of all, in that parable, there are some things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see that there is an invitation. The invitation is extended to those who will come to the vineyard. And I want us to think about that invitation for a minute. As a matter of fact, there are three things I want to remind you of about the invitation that is extended in the 20th chapter of Matthew. First of all, I don't believe it is the least of importance. I believe it is very significant that the invitation comes from the landowner himself. Look at verse 1. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard." Now, the interesting thing for me is that the landowner himself went into the marketplace, found all these people who were just standing around idle. They were hoping, perhaps waiting for an opportunity to do a day's work for a day's pay. And as they were standing around, here come the landowner himself. He could have sent his foreman, and the reason that I know he could have is because if we skip down to verse 8, it says, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard told his foreman to hand out the pay." And so he had a foreman. It would have been appropriate for the landowner to send the foreman into the marketplace early in the morning to begin to enlist workers for the vineyard. Instead of sending his foreman, he went himself. And the great news for us this morning is that the landowner comes to us as well. God is landowner. God has the vineyard. The vineyard is our opportunity to be all that God wants us to be in the world that he's created and discover the purpose that he's created for us. And occasionally, we get to a place where we're in that valley of decision, and the adversary is telling us we need to give in, but God comes, God shows up, God begins to speak to our heart, and God begins to draw us to something greater than what we've experienced before. God wants you to be a superstar Christian as well. God isn't interested in mediocrity. He doesn't want you just to be average. He wants you to be spiritually minded. So if you're sitting there, and you're a spiritual superstar, you go ahead and you can kind of, you know, if you need to do something else, go ahead and do it. This is not really for you. This is for those of you who feel a little average, but you want more. There's something inside of you that says you want more. So the landowner shows up, and the landowner begins to speak to your heart. Maybe it's during a worship service. You've been in a particularly moving worship experience, and something inside of you begins to get excited, and you want to take on the world. You want to be different. You want to be the best Christian God ever had. Well, that moving inside of you, that sort of wells up inside of you, is the Spirit of God calling you into the vineyard, calling you to the work, calling you to step up, calling you to move forward in your faith, calling you to be a superstar Christian. It may be when you hear your favorite Christian song, or when you hear someone sing, like Bree just sang. It may be something that moves you, but that which is going on inside of you, wanting you to be more than you are for Christ, That's an invitation from the landowner to come into the vineyard. And the invitation comes from the landowner himself. The Spirit of God comes. Now, first of all, remember, it comes from the landowner. God chooses to meet with you. And God is going to meet with some of you this morning, and He's going to invite you to step up spiritually and to become more spiritually focused and more spiritually minded. He's going to meet with you. He's going to call you. He comes himself. Secondly, He comes to those who are doing nothing. The landowner came early in the morning to find workers for his vineyard. These workers were standing around. Verse 3 says that at 9 when he went back, he found standing in the marketplace those who were doing nothing. And then if we skip down to verse 6, it says about 5 he went back, he found others, and he even said to them, "Why are you standing here all day doing nothing?" Isn't it a wonderful truth? It was for me. A long time ago, when I sat where you're sitting, it was a wonderful truth to discover that God was looking for people, even in their idleness, doing nothing, not growing, not moving ahead spiritually, just sort of being average, sitting in a sort of a spiritual rocking chair, not getting anywhere in terms of what God was doing in their life. And the Spirit of God came and said, "You know, I'm looking for those who are idle because I want them to join me in the vineyard." And God may find some of you this morning doing nothing. He may find you in your idleness, but He wants you to join Him in your vineyard. And you want to know why you're miserable? I feel strongly that the reason some of you are miserable, now you would never say that. I would have never said it. I would have never looked at those folks who seem to have it all together spiritually. I would have never affirmed them publicly, but privately, I wanted to be like that. And the reason that I was driven to do that, the reason that others are driven to do that, is that God has created us to serve Him. God created us to serve. In the Garden of Eden, when God created man initially, He put him in the Garden of Eden to work, to serve, to till, to care for the garden. So there's something in our created being that is striving to not be idle, to not just sit and let the world pass us by. And then at some point in your life, you invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and to be your Savior. You literally invited the Spirit of God into your existence, into your being. And so now you've been created to serve, and now you've invited the Lord Jesus into your heart. Do you know that Jesus Himself came to serve? If we were to look over at the end of that chapter, there is an occasion that most of you recall when Jesus was talking about Himself. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And He gave His life a ransom for many." Paul would write in the book of Philippians, "Make your own attitude toward Christ this way. Christ, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for His own advantage. But look what it says. Instead, He emptied Himself by assuming the form of a servant." So here you are, created initially to serve. And then when you were redeemed, you invite Christ, who came to serve, to be in you, to be in your being, to be in your heart. So now you are doubly called to serve. You have to find a place. When Chuck Colson was preaching a few years ago at an Ivy League school, and he was delivering the commencement address, he said to these Ivy League graduates, lawyers and doctors and all those folks who are going to have a great impact on our culture, he said to all of them, "Until you learn to serve, you will never be fully satisfied." There's something innate in us that is crying out to serve. And so when the landowner comes to you, finds you this morning in the marketplace, and invites you into the vineyard, don't reject the invitation. This could be your moment. This is where it all turns around for you, and you can become that spiritually minded, spiritually driven person. The third thing that I want you to notice, and this is a little bit of a warning to you, that invitation is not without limits. The invitation to join the landowner in the vineyard came early, and it came often, but it was not without limits. The Bible says that He came early and invited those first group of workers to come and join Him. Then after a little while passed, about 3 hours later, He came back to the marketplace. He found another group of folks needing employment. He invited them to come into the vineyard to work. And then He went back about 3 hours later, and He found a few more people standing around. He went back 3 hours later. He went back at 5 in the evening, only an hour of work left. And He found yet others still standing idly. You know, some of you came to Union already spiritually minded, already driven with a deep abiding faith, wanting to be in the center of God's will and do what God is inviting and asking you to do. And you're here for that reason. And I applaud you. I'm very grateful for you. Others of you are like me. You came to Union perhaps for some other reason, not the spiritually minded reason, the person sitting next to you, but you're here, and God's done something in your life and sort of blindsided you with this idea that you could be effective in His vineyard, that He has a purpose and a plan for your life, and you're discovering it. You may be those that He found at noon, or those that He found in the afternoon, or those that He finds at 5 in the evening. The great news for us is that as there are limits, the invitation continues to be extended. Now, here's what happens. You sit in a service like this. You begin to focus on what the Spirit of God is inviting you to do. And you've heard other preachers. The message isn't, the message has been preached for 2,000 years. And so there's nothing new about it. But something about a particular day, the Spirit of God sort of zeroes in on you. And it starts to make sense to you. It's God's inviting you to join Him in the vineyard. And that invitation comes. Now, you have the opportunity to respond, but if you fail to respond, you can't sit here this morning and say, well, I'd like to do that. That sounds great. I wish I were spiritual like you're saying. I wish I was spiritually minded. I wish I thought like that. I wish my life reflected that. I wish I was better than average Christian, but that's just not the case. And maybe tomorrow. See, you don't get to choose that. The workers didn't get to choose when they went to the vineyard. They only get to go to the vineyard when the landowner invites them. And so there's a limit. You need to know that. You need to remember it comes from the landowner. It comes to people who are idle in their place of doing nothing. And it comes with some limits. Now, secondly, there's a response. There's that invitation. That's important. That invitation comes from God. But there's also a response. Now, in the response in Scripture, there's one agreement, and then there are a number of assumptions. The first agreement occurs with the first group of workers. When he came early in the morning to hire workers, it says, after agreeing to a denarii, a one-day wage. There was an agreement that there would be one day. You work one day, I'll pay you for one day. So there was an agreement. But then the others were simply hired. I'm sure they assumed that if the first workers were going to get paid for a full day's wage, they were going to be paid proportionately. If they worked a half a day, they'd get a half a day's wage. Those that worked an hour probably assumed they'd get paid an hour. So there was an agreement and there were some assumptions. But in the end, when the wages were handed out, the exciting thing for those of us who are late bloomers is that we get the same rewards. It's not based on when you join the work in the vineyard. It is based on that you joined the work in the vineyard. And God may be saying to some of you, I want you to join the vineyard. You looked around and you watched your roommates. I watched my roommate just be this spiritually minded, growing person that I thought, I wish I could be like that. I watched other guys that have come back and they're professors here, they're working in seminary, they're serving in other places, and I thought I would like that. But there, it just didn't seem that it were time for me to do that. And so I was so excited when I discovered that I might be a late bloomer, but the pay is the same. Not because of what we're able to do, but because of who God is. One of my favorite 20th century philosophers is a young man named Dennis the Menace. Dennis, you probably know. Dennis, on one occasion, had a dear friend over, and he said, let's go over to Mrs. Wilson's. I can imagine that Dennis began to smell what Mrs. Wilson was cooking, and so they went next door, and sure enough, just as they arrived, Mrs. Wilson was bringing some just fresh baked chocolate chip gooey cookies out of the oven, and she invited the boys to sit down at the table and enjoy cookies. When she went over to pour the milk, the little boy leaned over to Dennis and said, is she giving us cookies because we're good? Now, if you know anything about Dennis, good was not in his vocabulary. And if he needed some testimony, Mr. Wilson would have been available to testify that nothing about Dennis was good. And Dennis leaned over to his friend and said, no, she's not giving us cookies because we're good. She's giving us cookies because she's good. You and I have the wonderful privilege of being called into the vineyard by one who is good. He doesn't reward us because we're good. He rewards us because He is good. And the Bible tells us on this occasion that He began to hand out the pay. He called his foreman over and he said, I want you to pay the last folks first. And the foreman began to hand out the payment. And the payment raised the expectation of the others. When the first ones who worked only an hour received a full day's wage, can you imagine what the persons in the back of the line were thinking because they've been working all day? They were about, they thought, to receive a mint. They have gone to work for one very generous landowner. So they began to assume. But unfortunately for them, their pay was the same. They received what they had, it would have been agreed on. If we keep the parable in the context, we go all the way back to the earlier parts of chapter 19, we discover there's a rich young business executive who comes to Jesus, and he said, I want to know, what is it that I need to do in order to inherit eternal life? You remember the story? Jesus said to the young business executive, sell everything you have, give to the poor. And the young man walked away sorrowful. But Peter was listening, one of the apostles, one of the superstar Christians was listening to the encounter. And it was Peter who said, well, he began to think about it. And he said, well, Jesus, we have given up everything for you. What do we get? I'm sure he thought that all the wonderful blessings that would have been the rich young ruler's now going to be theirs because they had given up everything. Jesus said, you'll get your due. But then he taught this parable. And in essence, he gets to this point and he says, so Peter, you need to remember, it's not when you join the vineyard, it's that you join the vineyard. It's not when you join the work, it's that you join the work. And the danger is this. Every time the Spirit of God moves in your life, and some of you this morning, and not all of you, I'll tell you, all of you, not all of you this morning, God has singled out. God's not singled out every one of us, but God has singled out some of you. And He's found you where you are seated, and he's said, here's a word that I have for you. So He's begun already to kind of draw you to Himself. And He started to speak to your heart. Not everyone, but some of you. This is your moment to make that determination that's going to be different from now. But here's the danger. The danger is that every time the Spirit singles you out and every time you fail to respond immediately and positively, you run a tremendous risk. And here's the risk. Let me just give you some things that you're risking. This morning, the Spirit of God has singled you out. If you don't respond to Him and do what God is asking you to do, here's what you risk. Number one, you risk your conscience becoming careless. Number two, your heart becoming callous. Number three, your mind becoming less and less impressionable. Number four, your ego becomes more and more self-centered. Number five, your thoughts become more and more worldly. And number six, your lives become more and more encumbered. Every time you are invited to step up spiritually and you reject that invitation, it becomes increasingly more difficult for you to respond the next time the landowner passes you by and calls you out. So it becomes imperative this morning that if God has singled you out this morning in chapel service, that you respond not to the school, not to me, not to anything around you, but that you respond to the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. Your hope of moving forward spiritually hinges on you responding to Him. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I want you to do something this morning because I've wrestled with this word because I just kept reviewing my own life 25, 26 years ago. I kept thinking about how many chapel services I attended. I kept thinking about how many times I didn't pay any attention and how many times occasionally the Spirit of God found me in my seat and asked me to make some kind of a renewed commitment. And so I'm going to ask some of you to do this. This is what I want you to do. I want you to do three things. And I want you to think about it. If you're one, it's not for everyone, but those of you that God has singled out this morning, I want you to do three things. Number one, I want you to take a pencil and a notebook or a textbook or something that you've got handy right where you're seated and just in the fly leaf of a book or on the edge of a notebook, open it to a page, but somewhere in there, I want you to write two words. If God has singled you out this morning, I want you to write these two words, forward today. And I want you to do that right now if God singled you out. Not because somebody next to you might do that, but if God has singled you out and said, you know, I want you to be more than you are for the cause of Christ. I want you to join me in the vineyard. I want this to be the mark where you decide that you're going to be everything God is inviting you to do. I want you to write those words, forward today. Don't let your past be a hitching post Some of you, let the adversary come up beside you and say, you've tried that before. You've made a commitment to be spiritual before. You've decided you're gonna get right with the Lord and you're gonna do all the things that God said. You've made that. You didn't follow through. You're not gonna follow through. Listen, don't let the past hold you back. Right now, right forward today. And then I want you to do number two. I want you to find someone and tell them you did that. Find a student that you look up to, someone that you're close to, a roommate that is spiritually minded. Find a professor you're especially close to. Find your advisor. Go see Dr. Fowler. Find someone and say to him, you know, when the preacher was preaching this morning, I wrote those two words. I want today to be the mark for me. I want Jesus Christ to be the centerpiece of my life. I've tried it before. I failed before, but I've renewed that commitment. The Spirit of God found me this morning, called me into the vineyard. I'm late. I'm one of the ones that I didn't go early. I didn't go at 9. I didn't go at 12, but I want to go to the vineyard. I want to work for the Lord. And number three, I want you to join a body of believers that encourages you in your spiritual development. And there are a lot of wonderful churches around Union University's campus. As a matter of fact, if you draw a radius 12.4 miles, you can find a wonderful congregation, a place where you can grow, a place where you can be everything God wants you to be, and you need the encouragement of other believers. So you're going to write down on your notebook, on your textbook, on your hand if you have to, forward today. You're going to tell someone today. You're going to seal it by telling someone. They're going to hold you to it. You're going to seal it, and they're going to hold you to it, and then you're going to join a church where you are challenged and encouraged to grow spiritually. Father God, I thank you for the students who are here this morning, and I thank you for that one, two, or three students that you singled out. I believe with all of my heart that you've called on some average folks, folks like me, 25 years ago when I sat there, you found them this morning, and you called them out, and you said to them, it's time to be serious about faith. It's time to be spiritually minded. And Lord, some of them have responded to you. They've acted immediately and they've acted positively and they've determined that from this moment on, forward today, they're going to live for you. They're going to be giants. They're going to be superstars in your wonderful kingdom. Thank you for what you've done in the lives of one or two or three of our students. In Jesus' name, amen.